Let's begin this morning by singing in our hymnals, page 298, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Let's sing that together, shall we? 298. All together, 298.
One fellowship, one joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is my leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from
maybe hear something from Brother Eddie, a song or whatever it may be. But that song that we just sang, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, comes from the book of Deuteronomy, if you want to take a look with me real quick. In the 33rd chapter, these are Moses' final words to the children of Israel, his final blessing upon them. In the very next chapter, he goes up on Mount Nebo, and there he dies, and God buries him. But in his final words to the children of Israel, these are his final, final words. He's been pronouncing blessings on the various tribes. They're marvelous things that he says by the Holy Spirit, of course, by the inspiration of God. And then in verse 26, he sort of begins to draw this blessing to a close. And he says, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides the heavens to help you. And in his excellency on the clouds, and look at 27, here it is. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. In this passage, Moses uses one of the names for God, the everlasting God. That name, God Everlasting, is El Olam. El Olam, the everlasting God, the God of eternity, from ages to ages, from infinity past to infinity future. You just kind of wrap your mind around that and try to figure out what that's all about. But what it really means, what it tells us, is not just that he's eternal, that he always was, is, always will be, but the fact that time, in a sense, has no effect on God. Things never happen that surprise him. He's never surprised. He's never shocked. He's never aghast. No, he's changeless. He's immovable, as it were. We know that he loves us. He's moved by love. But yet nothing ever occurs to him that just knocks him off his pins. That just, oh, I don't know what to do. No. He is the everlasting God. He is El Olam. And where does that name come from? It comes, again, from the story of Abraham. If you want to turn, as you see, we're going to do this one quickly this morning. I just want to leave some time for others. But in chapter 21 of the book of Genesis, Abraham has been going through some tough times. Things have been very, very difficult. There's been a lot of change, a lot of upsetment in his life. He's been going through that whole thing with Hagar and with Ishmael, that whole situation. You know, family situations, they can be really tough. They can be hard. And Abraham's just gone through all of that. He's had that time when he went to be with Abimelech in the land of the Philistines, and he told them that Sarah was his sister because he was afraid, and he got himself in trouble. He got himself in trouble with Abimelech, with the king, and with the people who were there. Plus, Isaac was born. You might say, well, wait a minute, that was a good thing. And yes, it was a good thing. It was a marvelous thing. It was a miracle. But you know, those of you who have ever had children, and those of you who haven't yet, you wait. Lord willing, your time is coming. But having a child, boy, talk about changing your house. Talk about changing your home. You think your life changes when you get married. Wait till the little ones come along. That's when things really get turned upside down. And so Abraham is in the middle of all of this change, these different little situations that are coming up that are difficult. He digs a well, and Abimelech's servants come and take it away from him. And there's just all kinds of things going on, all kinds of things. And finally, in the end of chapter 21 of Genesis, he and Abimelech sit down and they make a peace treaty. They make a treaty. They discuss all of this. And they come to an agreement that they will treat each other fairly. They won't lie to each other anymore. They won't make up stories. They won't say, oh, that's mine. You know, it sounds like a bunch of little kids. That's mine! Mine! And when it's all said and done, they make a treaty. It says, and there, down in verse 33, here's our verse. Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord. There's our all capital letters name, right? You all at this point should know what that is, right? On the name of the Lord. But then another name is added, the everlasting God. God everlasting. Why did Abraham call upon God everlasting? Because he was committing himself. He was worshiping the changeless one, the one upon whom time has no effect. He didn't know if Abimelech would keep his end of the bargain. And if Abraham knew his own heart, who knows, maybe he would slip up himself. But there was one whom he knew that he could call on him. He could worship him. He could commit himself to him, and that would never change. It would never change. And who was that? It was El Olam, God everlasting, the eternal God. Aren't you glad God never changes? I don't know about you, but I'm glad God doesn't get up on the wrong side of the bed. You know what that means, don't you? Wake up in a bad mood. I'm glad God isn't affected by the way things go. I mean, yes, he weeps, he's sorry, he's angry, he rejoices. The Bible tells us all of that, but yet it doesn't change who he is. Who he is. Some people, you know, and I think we can all confess to this from time to time. Sometimes, depending on circumstances, it changes a little bit who we are. Maybe we're a little bit sharper with people, or maybe we're, you know, a little bit withdrawn, or maybe we're a bit more gregarious, depending on the situation, the circumstances. But that doesn't happen with God. He is unchanging. He is the same. The same. Yesterday, you know it, today, and forever. And because of that, you and I can trust him, we can commit ourselves to him, and we can know that just like Israel, that today, me and you, no matter what the circumstances are, you and I are being carried by the everlasting arms. My favorite chapter in the Old Testament is Isaiah 40. I want to show you one thing there. I'm not even hardly going to comment on it, but I want to show it to you. In Isaiah 40, that marvelous chapter that Handel used, of course, he didn't write the words, but when he put his Messiah together, comfort ye my people. But at the end of that chapter in Isaiah 40, the 28th verse, there's a marvelous promise here to us. And Isaiah says to the people, by the way, just a little side note, when Isaiah gave this promise, the Assyrians were rampaging across the Middle East. Israel had already been destroyed, gone forever. They had conquered this city, that city. And you know, the Assyrians, they were not people to be messed with. When they showed up, that was bad news. There was no silver lining to that cloud when the Assyrians would show up. And here they were, rampaged. They'd even captured a couple cities of Judah at this point in time. But even in the midst of this uncertain situation, it seems like things were just falling around them, not just on a family level, but on a national and international level. Sound familiar at all? Sound a little bit like our world today? Things just spinning out of control. What does Isaiah say? Look at it. Have you not known? Have you not heard? El Olam, the everlasting God, the Lord, Yahweh, creator of the ends of the earth. What's his creation name? Anybody remember? Quick little quiz. It was the first one. Elohim. Remember from the day one? Elohim. Better be careful. I might give you a test before this week is out. Some of you might want to leave early. The creator of the ends of the earth neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths, even the young men, even the groundsmen, those burly groundsmen, even the pot boy is traditionally the strongest of the men in the kitchen. I just made that up. Even the dumb waiter, we got a couple of those, shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And why is that so? Why is that so? Because when we wait on him, we come to realize, we come to understand, we feel, we experience that underneath us are arms that are carrying us. And those arms aren't just any arms. They're not Arnold Schwarzenegger's arms or some strong man or strong individual, not even the arms of the United States government, but it's the everlasting arms, the arms of El Olam, forever the same, yesterday, today, and forever. You think we could sing that song, Brother Paul? Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Take your time, no rush.
Let's sing that chorus together. Think about our El Olam.
Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name.
Praise the Lord. Worship.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.